Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. I am your host on tonight, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife on the other line. Honey, are you there? Okay, she seems to be a little tired right now with the kids, but we're going to go ahead and get started. Okay, the topic tonight is on financial issues. Help, we are in a crisis. Financial issues are at the top of the list of reasons that cause strife, confusion, and even divorce in marriages. It is not uncommon to see couples on talk shows, reality shows, etc., that argue or disagree of how to spend and save money. There are times when couples are in a financial struggle, and the stress of it all can cause things to seem unbearable. How do we overcome when the money is short, but bills are long overdue? What can couples do to still maintain a healthy relationship in this situation? And what resources do we have available that are help families? Okay, so thank you again for joining us on tonight. Today's date is June 28th, 2016. And as usual, we'll go ahead and get started by opening up the lines, and I'll start with my first caller ending in 8225. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Kenny.
Hey there, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm all right, I guess.
Good,
yeah,
good.
I'm
glad
all right.
To hear it.
Amen, amen. Well, we'll keep your line open as usual, and if you have anything you want to talk about, we'll leave the line open so that way you can go ahead and do so.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. Okay, our next caller we have, ending in 1844. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Pastor Kenny. How are you?
Great. How you doing, miss?
I'm good. I'm good. I am sitting here enjoying your topic. All I have to say is, you know, if you struggle together, you know, you'll stay together. It's for richer, for poorer. The bill, y'all accumulated the bills together. Just sit there and figure them out, and it'll be together, you know.
Amen, amen.
You'd
rather be struggling with somebody than be struggling to be alone. Totally understand y'all now.
Yeah. You know, and y'all sit down, formulate a game plan, and stick to it, and you will come out of that financial difficulty. It just takes a lot of,
right.
You know, being disciplined, you know. Just because that new person came out, don't mean you got to have it right now. Wait for it to go on sale, you know, doing those dollar bills, and you'll be good. And, you know, them new shoes just came out. You know, you might just have to pass up on those, you know. Get
know
the bills
right.
Straight, you know.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we sure do appreciate you calling in as well. We'll keep your line open, and if you have anything, feel free to chime in.
All right, I sure will. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, caller ending in 1398. You're on the air.
Hello, son. How are you?
Hello, Miss Brenda. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I'm trying to make it, baby. I've been going through some changes, but God is good, so I'll be all right.
Amen. He is good all the time.
Yeah, I got my phone back yesterday, so I'm glad I got it back in time so I could tune in tonight, and I'll just be holding back and listening. And y'all do what you got to do, and I'm going to listen, and I appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. Well, as usual, we'll have your line open. If you have anything to say, feel free to chime on in for the topic on tonight.
All right. Thank you, darling.
You're welcome. All right, caller. So we're talking again about financial issues and how, you know, if we had to take a pick for the top three, definitely, you know, finances would be in that top three. But this confusion and strife that it causes, which eventually end in divorce, is somewhat mind-boggling to the point of where, you know, there are couples that come in together, and both of them come in together, and, you know, they're pretty much on one accord for a minute when it comes to them being in love. But then you have couples that come into the marriage or come into the relationship expecting marriage, and they come in and they have their own bank accounts, and, you know, husband and wife still want to keep their own bank accounts. And you know, granted, there's nothing wrong with having accounts, but I think each spouse should have access to both accounts. You know, reason being is because, you know, there are things that come about, but then you also have family, you also have spouses and that argue and bicker at one another when it comes to, hey, you spent my money, you went into my account and got this amount of money out, so you owe me this. I mean, where do they do that at? I mean, it happens here in America, sad but true. And you know, it's just, you know, this is something that's not uncommon these days to see couples, you know, fighting over finances. And as I said before, you know, you have couples that have come in and they either had their own account, or sometimes they both come in and they're young, they're just starting out in life and living on their own, and then they're trying to establish themselves financially. So they both don't really have much money in the account. But yet one spouse, you know, with both of them being workers, or, you know, or having business propositions and goals as far as in entrepreneurship, one decides to step out on faith and winds up making a whole lot more money than the other spouse. And then now it's an argument of, you know, we're looking at prenups and divorce now, and I want half of what he got. I don't understand why it goes like that, but I mean, it does in this day and age. Honey, are you there?
I'm here.
All right.
Everybody.
Hey, Pastor Quadrilyn, how are you?
I'm fine. I was trying to get set up outside so the kids can play. That's what took me a while.
It's fine.
I think that we do have couples that come in, you know, and they have separate accounts, and some, you know, they join theirs together. And I don't think the issue is whether you have a separate account or whether you have, you know, one account, or whether each one has a separate account and then they have one account. I think the issue comes in where we have to, when we fail to realize that when we are married, and I know I've been guilty of this, but we fail to realize when we are married that the money that comes into the house, however it comes in, is not his or hers, but it's ours. And so that's where I think a lot of us go wrong, because it is ours, whether it's in your account, whether it's in his account. You know, when we come together, we're talking about, we are a Christian-based show, so this is how, you know, we're basing this conversation as far as, you know, being a Christian couple. When we come together, we know that the Bible says that, you know, we know that we come together and we're one. You know, a man is to leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So when we come together, we are one. So regardless of how it comes in the house, it's still ours. And so when we don't realize that, that is one of the things that causes us to have a strained relationship when it comes to finances. And doing my little research that I did, statistics show that 85 to 90% of marriages have issues pertaining to finances, and a lot of those end up in divorce. And it's not even just having a financial crisis, because we know that sometimes we go through things where we have, you know, something comes up unexpectedly. You know, we have situations that come up. You have sometimes where people, you know, somebody ends up sick. you know, a child ends up sick, a spouse or whatever. So there are things that come up that will cause us to go into this, you know, little financial crisis. I know for us, you know, we're still trying to get back from, you know, from where we left Germany, and we went over there with one child and came back with three kids, you know, and so it was just kind of hit us hard when we came to the States. I'm going to get a new car. We lost a lot of money, you know, so that type of thing. So some things just happen. But when we are coming together and we are hitting those things, you know, like Mish, like you were saying, I heard you, you know, it's for richer, for poor, better or worse, richer or for poor. And that is what we say, but those are vows that we really have to live by. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to live by the, we forget those things. But there's also an issue when we have, you know, we have the unexpected financial crisis, but then we also have spenders and we have savers. So you have that situation where one person is a spender, the other is a saver. So somebody likes to just spend, and then the other one's like, I don't want to spend nothing. And so in situations like that, we have to make sure that we find a balance. We have to come to a compromise, and I think that's something that, you know, we have to do a lot in marriage, but that sometimes is a problem because we don't compromise like we should. Because most of the time, if you have a spender and if you have a saver, you know, these are two different people, two different personalities, they're not going to really change a whole lot, you know. So you marry who you marry, and there's just some areas that are not going to change. But, you know, even before we get married, we have to make sure that we pay attention to those things, you know, spending habits, because hopefully we're dating them long enough to see spending habits, you know. But once we get into it, then we have to find a way to make a compromise. We have to find a way to, okay, I respect how you are, and I need you to respect how I am, because we can't just overly spend, but at the same time, we can't just be overly stingy either. Okay, go ahead, babe. I'm going to stop right there. Well, for anybody that has anything to say.
Absolutely. You know, I think when it comes to the difference, it should be both parties should complement one another. Now, you might have that one that likes to spend that you can look at in a good sense as being a risk taker, one that's willing to take a risk to, you know, because, you know, in order for us to make money out here in this world, it takes money to make money. If you don't have money, then you can't always rely and expect for somebody to sow into you or to invest into you, so to speak, because they're looking at the fact that you just don't have the money now, you're probably not going to have it because you're not good at saving.
Right.
Then you might have that one that likes to save and that's frugal. You know, but when it comes to whining and dining, you know, whether it's the woman that likes to save or it's the man that likes to save, when it comes to whining and dining, having a good time and being able to just get out and unwind, that couple, that individual may or may not want to do anything because they're too afraid of taking a risk, because they think they're going to spend their money and they're not going to have any money.
Right.
But then you have that special population, which we all have encountered, you know, that friend that just, you know, it's tight with money because they ain't never had nothing coming up, and they don't want to spend it because they're afraid of going back to where they came from or how they grew up.
Right. And that's where, you know, we have a fear. And a lot of us, we do, like you were saying, some are risk takers and some are not. And some of us, you know, some are not, because we have this fear, and this fear causes us to miss out on a lot. Like you, you know, pretty much what you were saying. And so we do have to understand that there's a difference between fear and caution and fear and wisdom. You know, there's a difference, because we do want to have wisdom in what we do. We do want to be cautious. You know, the Bible says be anxious for nothing. So we don't just want to go out and be anxious. Oh, my God, I'm going to do this just because I heard it on, you know, CNN yesterday and we haven't done any research. You know, we don't want to do that either. But at the same time, we don't want to hinder a financial increase because we are just living in fear, or we are too comfortable, you know. Well, I guess, you know, if you're comfortable, that's fine. But we don't want to be in fear, and we don't want to be the ones that's scared to make that difference, because somebody has to, you know, I do believe in raising our children up you know, encouraging them, and this is just my opinion, encouraging them, you know, telling them, hey, you can do this, you can do that. However, I also personally believe that we have to be examples, that they need examples. And so, you know, let's, you know, I'm all about leading the way, but that's just my personal opinion. So when you have, again, a spender and a saver, that was great, baby. We can complement each other when you do compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Make decisions together. I think that's a lot of issues also. When you have situations, you might have a spender or a saver. You have some spenders, they go out and they spend, 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 and then they don't talk to their spouse. Well, if you don't talk to your spouse about what you're purchasing, now I'm not saying every little thing, like, oh, I went to McDonald's today or Burger King or whatever, you know, some stuff. I mean, some relationships are like that, you know, hey, that's good. You know, but substantial purchases and things, those things need to be discussed, because it's not just a matter of the money, but it's also a matter of respect. And sometimes that's where we, you know, we fall also. We don't realize that money, how we deal with our money is a representation of our character. It's also showing, you know, how much we can trust, how much we are trusting our spouses. It's a representation of respect, you know, so it's a lot of things that goes into how we spend our money, how we, you know, and how we deal with our money. Go ahead, baby. Anybody, do you have anything to say?
Absolutely. It can take a toll on you if you're not wisely making choices and decisions when it comes to the money factor. Finances, of course, you know, we all know most people like to say money is the root of all evil, but that's not the case. According to the scripture, the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, therefore meaning that many people do whatever sinful acts they can to get it in their hands. But when you're out there and you're honestly hustling and working hard to provide for your family, you know, it's okay to want to save and invest. But the best thing to do is not only just save your money and leave it sitting there and be as, you know, the parable where the man left in the Bible, that he left and he left each one of the men with some money. One decided to invest, the other decided not to invest and decided to hide his money. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're that one that just likes to sit your money under the mattress because you're scared the bank is going to rob you of your money, well, let me tell you, your money's not going to gain any interest under the mattress. I ain't seen it yet. I don't think it's going to ever happen. But if you put your money in somewhere like a credit union, or you put your money where it can gain interest, these are important factors where you're looking at the fact of you're making your money work for you. And if you're wisely and you're making wise decisions and you're taking your money and investing in IRAs and, you know, or you're even taking your money and investing in other things like, you know, the natural resources that we have, oil, gas, you know, you name it. You take your money and invest in those type things, then eventually your money is going to gain growth. And, you know, if you're relying and depending on gaining wealth, then guess what? You got to be willing to take that first step. You got to be the risk taker, because a risk taker never will get rich. I mean, one that doesn't want to take a risk will never get rich. But the one who wants to take a risk, they have a 50-50 chance, a hit or miss, on whether or not they're going to get rich or not. So, I mean, don't sit back and say, hey, well, you know, I want to do this, but I'm not doing it. Go out there and do it. Make your money work for you. That's the best thing you can do, is make your money reciprocate. If you don't do that, then you're just going to be living paycheck to paycheck. And nowadays, that's the American way. You live paycheck to paycheck. And you're always talking about the shoulda, woulda, couldas when you look back on life. You know, don't look back over what you could have done. Talk about what you're going to do and what you're doing.
Right, and a lot of us are trying to get out of that mode of, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. But I just want to say this in agreement on what you said. We do have to be a risk taker. But again, you know, as far as the marriages is concerned, make sure before you take that risk, your spouse is on board.
Absolutely.
You know, you guys are doing it unified. It's not just, you know, you or whatever. You're saying, I'm going to do this behind their back, because then that causes issues.
Yes, it does.
But I want to bring, first of all, I'm going to read that scripture that you just brought up, baby. It is 1 Timothy 6:10.
Mm-hmm.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In other words, they've forgotten about God because of the money, you know, because they're so focused on money. Now, we want money. Now, I'm being honest, I want money. I do, you know, I do. But it's not, we can't allow that to take the place of God. And so that's something else we have to remember, and this is let me start with me on this. We have to remember that everything is God's. You know, when we're Christians and we have a Christian family, we have to remember that the money, I'm sorry, y'all, that's somebody's car, that everything we have, you know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwell within. So the money is God's money. And so it's important for us to, especially if both of you are saved, you know, and this is something that we fall short of, you know, Kenny and I, maybe we fall short of this, but it's important still for us to come together to pray about our finances, how to spend our finances, you know, and things like that, because it's God's money. You know, this is money he's given to us that we are to, you know, utilize yet for his purposes and, yes, for our desires, because he doesn't want. Some people think, you know, that God wants us to be poor and to lack. No, he does not. He does not want us to lack. He does not want us to be poor. That is not what he desires for our lives. However, he does not want money to take the place of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get so consumed in money in our marriages and it becomes this big old thing and we're fussing and we're fighting and we're fighting and we're fussing and, you know, and it's causing all this turmoil, and before you know, people are separated and all this stuff, then what we have allowed money to do is become an idol, and it has taken the place of God in our homes for the
right
family.
Right. Money also, you know, to some people, when the Bible speaks about the love of money being the root of all evil, it gives some people a false sense of security, whereas they think that they don't need anybody because they're rich or they got money. Don't ever get into that point, because the very thing that God allowed you to get, that's the very thing he can take away from you, because he's a jealous God. So even with that being said, back to what you were saying earlier, honey, about you know, couples making sure they talk to one another about spending the money. Very important. You talk about that, and chances are you're going to reduce the arguing, and then you also have opportunity where you all can sit down and actually discuss, hey, what are we going to do at this point, you know, and I want to get to the point, you know, to where we can just go in and go into a grocery store, and the person behind us, we pay for their groceries, or the person in front of us, we pay for their groceries. You know, I want to get to the point where, we're at the drive-thru window and we can pay for somebody's dinner behind us, you know. I mean, that's where I would love to get to financially. So how do I do that? Well, my wife and I, we both are always working on a plan to make more money. I mean, it's just important to do so. You strive to make more money in order for you to be able to not only be able to take care of your family, but also to be able to do the things you want to do, because we can't just always say, well, I'm content, you know, I don't want to be rich. I don't think there's no one on this line that would not like to be wealthy or what you consider well off.
Some people feel like that. You have some people, they don't want to be rich. They want to be comfortable. So that's what some people want.
But, yeah, and then what I want to say definitely to the callers is, right, when you have that those times where you're struggling, okay, it never ever hurts for you to find your financial advisor, someone that'll help you get invested and where to invest your money at. You know, back in Fort Hood, my first duty station, you know, I remember talking to this guy over at MetLife, and I've been invested with them for years. And granted, you know, it's like a life insurance policy, but at the same time, not only is it a life insurance policy, I also have my wife and I have established this money market account to where we have five different things that we're invested in. So it's important for us to invest because we have to invest in the future, and the future is our children. If we're not investing in our children, then, you know, chances are our children are going to have struggles and some of the same struggles, whereas most parents say, they always tell the children, you know, I don't want you to be like me. I want you to do better than me. And part of them being able to do better is they have to have a standpoint. They have to have a foundation. And if they don't have a foundation built for them, then, you know, chances are they're going to eventually go through the same financial woes that we as parents have gone through over the years.
That's true. And I definitely agree with you about having a financial advisor, even if you cannot, you know, if you don't. No, they have a lot of free resources out there. They have things on the internet. For those of us in the military, they have military, Military One or whatever.
Yeah, Military One source.
Yeah, they have that. So, you know, it's a lot of things. Those who may be with USAA, they have, you know, free financial advice. I've called and talked to them, you know, a couple times. And so there are things that are definitely out there, things that are free. I know right now, Kenny, you're reading what, Dave Ramsey's, what's the book that you're reading now?
I can't remember the name of the book right off, but I definitely like to read books that talk about investing and learning how to save. I mean, it's important to do that because eventually what happens is, right, the more knowledge you have, the better off you'll think about things when it comes to you investing and spending your money and where to put your money to make it work for you.
Yeah, so, you know, reading books from people who've made it, who've accomplished it, you know, since we're supposed to be focusing on marriage, you know, other couples who've made it out of, you know, this place that we're in, you know, some of us are trying to get out of, talking to other people, reading their, you know, their stories, their opinions, how they did it, you know, taking maybe not everything, but some of what they're saying, you know, some of their advice, you know, all of that helps. So again, you know, we have to communicate, talk to each other, no spending behind each other's back. First of all, realizing that, you know, God is first, the money is ours. And then also budget if we can, you know, well, we can, but, you know, I'm thinking of adopting a budget. However that is, I'm going to spend this much on this, you know, that much on that. Yeah, I tried that last week for going to the grocery store. It did not work. But anyway, I did try. I really tried, you know, so I'm going to get better at that. But budgeting. Taking out, you know, this amount of money, well, we'll spend this amount of money on this or whatever, you know, if you can. Some people really, it's hard when, you know, you get paid and all your money is pretty much accounted for, you know, so that's kind of hard, but budgeting. Also, you know, with a couple, we know we usually have one that is the bookkeeper or the record keeper. You know, for us, it's me. I took it over because Kenny was always gone, and so I've just kept it up all this time. However, at the same time, you know, it is important for the other one to at least know somewhat of what's going on and what you have, you know, a spreadsheet or whatever you have. So if anything ever happens, you know, they can go and they can refer to that. And then
absolutely.
Go ahead, babe. What you gonna say?
Go ahead.
And I want to go back to being respectful. That even, you know, some of us, we have, you know, we, like my husband is the only one that's working right now. You know, I've tried, but I haven't been successful at some things just yet because I'm obviously doing the wrong things. But, you know, right now we're living on one income, and so we want to also make sure that we respect the hard work that our spouse is, you know, doing every day. And I'm going to tell y'all what I mean by that. Just like for those of us that do stay at home, if there are any listeners out there that stay at home, you know, we expect our husbands or wives, you know, whoever is the one that's working. When they come home, we want them to respect what we're doing with the kids. We want them to respect when we're keeping the house clean. You know, we want them to respect what we're doing all day, what we're putting forth, the work that we're putting forth, the effort that we're putting forth. And so we should also do that same thing when it comes to the spouse that's working and bringing in the income. So we can't be so quick to just promise out everything that they're paying. You know, we know that sometimes family members need help. Sometimes we want to help people, and that's good. We should help people. However, before you just say, okay, I'll give you that $200, you know, let's make sure that we're respectful enough to say, hey, let me talk to my husband or my wife first, which we should do that anyway, regardless of if both of us are working. But I just think even more so if one spouse is working, and that's just my opinion, because we want to make sure that we're just not promising the money out everywhere to everybody else, you know, without talking to our spouse about that. So, you know, just going back to just being, you know, having that respect. Go ahead, babe.
Right. I totally understand you on that. But I have this thing, you know, that I read about, and if I had a name for it, I would call it attacking lack. And how you do that is you have those bills, because most of us have multiple small bills. I'm talking about a plethora of small bills, you know, $50 here, $90 there, $100 there, $250 there. These bills are the ones that are causing us, right, to always have to eventually go into negative or go into our savings and deplete our savings because we're trying to spend it, okay? But here's my suggestion to you, and I read about it, and I've seen a lot of success stories, and that is you attack those small bills so that way you're able to invest in yourself. Always remember to pay yourself first, you know. My wife and I, you know, we used to do this a lot, and we kind of got off from doing it or got away from doing it over the years when we wound up going to one source of income. But at the same time, the account is always accessible to my wife. And if she wants to buy her a nice blouse or something she sees at the store, and by all means, I like her to do it because, you know, my wife is doing one of the most important jobs right now, and that's being able to take care of the family, the kids, you know, taking care of the home. So with that being said, I don't want her to lack for anything. If she sees a nice shirt, she don't necessarily have to come and talk to me about it. But if she's trying to make a super big purchase, you know, then, hey, you know, we need to talk about this and see what we can do first. But what you do is you attack those small bills first, right? And then as you're attacking those small bills, start making sure you pay yourself, you know. Each time you get a check, each time you get paid, some of us get paid biweekly, and some of us get paid, you know, once a month, right? So if you're getting paid every 2 weeks, you know every 2 weeks you're going to get paid faithfully, whether it's the 1st and 15th or the 15th and the 1st, however you want to look at it. Start investing in yourself, you know. You can also talk to your banks. Most of the banks out there actually have financial advisors, and even insurance companies have financial advisors that are willing to give you good free information to help you invest and tell you where to put your money at. Whereas some people go out and spend hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, to go out and find somebody that has this big name to help them invest so that they can try to do this get-rich-quick scheme. But you don't always have to look forward to that. But I tell you, if you're taking your money and you're investing it, and then that money is gaining interest, eventually in the long run, you're gonna have to go back to that money, and you want to make sure you got a nice nest egg set up for you and your family, because everybody likes to work and everybody works their fingers to the bone consistently on the daily, yearly, monthly, annually, hourly, in minutes in a day. They do it every day, but nobody's thinking about working toward the time retirement. Because eventually, you know, one day it all ends. One day you got to hang up the boots. One day you got to hang up the blouse. One day you got to hang up the dress. One day you got to hang up the high heel shoes. You're going to have to hang them up. And then what are you going to do after that? There definitely should be a good, healthy, prosperous, and comfortable life even after retirement. So as spouses, you know, we hit hard times all the time. But I think you know, every family should have an emergency investment, an emergency fund. Well, you're taking money and you're dumping, you know, $50 here, $20 here, $100 here. You're dumping it into this account. And then you take the card out of your wallet or your purse and you forget about it and you lock it away in your safe, right? So that way you don't even, that way if it's not there, you don't realize you got it. Then you take that money and you put it in, and then eventually you might want to take a trip, or there might come a hard time where family members need to borrow some money. But then you also have to be, if you're that spouse, right, that has a hard time with telling family no, that's just going to be, sometimes you're going to have to use those two letters. You're going to have to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't help you. No, I can't do it. You know, because most of the time when the money is there, people always, whether it's bill collectors or not, people will always have their money, their hand out, waiting for you to pay them their money. It's just fact. I mean, that's just how we live in this world.
Yeah, I think part of the issue that sometimes, you know, with people not saving, because I definitely agree, you know, they do tell you to pay yourself. Because if not, you know, we believe that, then we start feeling like we're only working to pay bills, or, you know, for those of you that are working, you're only working to pay bills. So they do, you know, say pay yourself, and like you said, have a savings. But I think not, but part of the problem is people don't think that they have enough to save. That's part of the problem with some people, you know, because they're looking at, you know, I barely have this, I can barely pay for groceries, I can barely, you know, get my kids this or that. And so some people just feel like they don't have enough to save. But even if you're putting aside $5 a paycheck, even if you start off with $5, I know I've seen something that say start off with 5 for a certain amount of months, then move up to 10 for a certain amount of months, and 15. You know, even if it's as small as that, put away something and let it, you know, accumulate, and then it'll be there when you need it. And that'll also, I believe, help ease Jeremiah. That will also help ease some of the financial stress that could come along, you know, with an unexpected emergency.
I agree, absolutely. So my question, if I may, to the callers out there, when it comes to investing, how important do you feel investing is to your future? Anybody? Right now, I got two callers on the line.
Well, I feel like it's very important, but I think it's also somewhat frightening because it's a very intimidating thing. You don't know where to start. You don't know really what to invest in. And then if you invest in things like the stock market, then those can always crash, or, you know, you can put your money in something and, you know, not yield a good return on your investment. So I think it just depends on what you're investing in, and different types of things like that. But I do think it is important to invest, but I think it's just, like I said, it's somewhat intimidating.
Right. I totally agree with you. It's the fear of the unknown that causes many people not to want to invest and want to actually spend or save their money to be able to invest, because they're unsure about where they're going to start their investing in that, how much they're going to invest. But there are levels to investment that many people may not be aware of. And then you have the low to moderate risk investments. You have then you have your high risk investments. The high risk investments normally take, you know, just a little bit of extra money, but at the same time they'll yield a good profit when it's time to yield it, and then they'll yield a downslope or a fallout, if you will, when things are not going good. Now, the stock market exchange is very important to invest in. But what you do is, right, what I always talk to, you know, my coworkers about, because I still believe investing is important. And you know, like I said before, my wife and I both invest. What you do is you find an organization and you find something that really, really, really attracts your attention. And then you see what's your yield when it comes to you investing in this company and how much it'll benefit you. Most women, I'm going to tell you, if they did this, they more likely will probably be, you know, quarter million to half a million dollar millionaires. if they invest in a Walmart, because I swear that Walmart line be packed with all women going in there shopping, buying all sorts of things. You invest in a Walmart, you'll get your year back. Real talk, you'll get it back. Honey, you there?
Mm-hmm. I'm here. And I do. I think it's just, you know, getting over the fear. And, again, if we don't have examples, you know, if no one's willing to take that risk and be an example, if, you know, our parents haven't done it, then we don't do it, then our children might be reluctant about doing it, and their children might be reluctant about doing it. So it really is just taking somebody to say, okay, I'm going to be an example and, you know, do it.
Well, that gives me a good idea.
Yeah.
Because I have a couple of people that like to invest and believe in investing. And one of these shows, I'm going to try to see if I can get them on the show and see if I can get them to talk to us about investing. It's important that we invest in ourselves and invest in our children. They need it, you know. They really do.
Right.
Then what I would say is you can also talk to your banks and find out about what types of accounts they have out there that draw max interest, but what cause you to have more, be penalized even the more if you were to take from this money. So that way it would cause you and deter you from wanting to take money on it. And those type of accounts right there, like I said, they're great within when it comes to investing and it comes to you gaining a nice amount of interest on, right? But if you have a stringent or strong penalties for you taking money out earlier than what you're supposed to, then it'll deter you from wanting to take money out of that in the first place. You know, my wife and I, you know, we also believe in starting accounts for your children. You start accounts for your children, and what you do is you can give them allowance, you know, cash, or you can take that allowance and put it in their account for them, or you can do both. You can say you give them $20, and you teach them, hey, I'm all right. You got allowance for the past week. You got $20. Here's $10 in cash, but we're going to invest the other money. We're going to put it into your savings account. That way, you're teaching your kids you can have the best of both worlds. You can have a little money in your pocket, but you're also investing in yourself. So in the end, you're teaching them how to pay themselves, and you're teaching them how to be able to save their money. Because, I mean, when I was little, nobody taught me how to save money. You give me $2, I'm going to the candy lady and buy $2 worth of candy, and that's a penny a piece of candy. And me and my friends, we're going to eat until we get sick. That's how I used to be. But, you know, now saving money, I feel, is so important. And yet, you know, there's so many resources out there that we don't know about, but it's just because nobody's really ever sat down and talked to anyone about investing. You know, I might not be the best person to talk to you about investing, but I think I have some fairly decent information that I can share that's been shared with me over the years. And I think, you know, the iron sharpened iron concept, you know, all of us, each one teach one. If you know some things about it, you put it in a pot, and we got all these different ideas and we have all these different things to feed on that will help us. But the other mistake that I see a lot of people make in America is they have this get-rich microwave scheme, right? So they feel that they can do the exact same thing that one man did to get rich, and it's gonna work directly and completely for them the same way it worked for this person. Nope, that's not always the case, because you have different types of mentalities. You have those that are, you know, your aggressive spenders. You have the aggressive the go-getters, if you will, that go out there and they know how to talk with the people, they know how to build rapport with the people, whereas you have some that don't know how to do that. So, I mean, they'll put these things out there real quick and say, hey, you spend this $99, we can give you this packet and you can be rich today too. That don't always mean it's going to work that way. So, you know, that's one common mistake that we as Americans can make real quick. But you got to do what works for you. If it's something you're good at, do what works for you to help you get, you know, the finance and build a future that you so deserve. All right, honey, I think I'm talking too much. Where you at?
I'm right here. So, again, going back to the marriages, you know, when we are in that financial crisis, we do want to come together to try to do something to change it. And those are some of the things that we have talked about. You know, paying off the bills, little, like you said, paying off the smaller one first and moving up to the larger ones. Seeing if we do have, you know, there are people out there who teach on investing, you know, finding someone to teach on investing, seeing what we can do, you know, tapping into, you know, our talents and abilities and trying to use, and, you know, using those to work for us, the gifts that God has given us. He hasn't given us those things for nothing. You know, tap into those things and find a way to make it work for you. There are some people, you know, some people who have to get second jobs, you know, in order to kind of get out temporarily, you know, in order to get out of that place, you know, that the family may be in. So whatever you have to do, just make sure that as a couple you are supporting each other. You know, try not to be irritated. And sometimes we do get irritated, you know, when we look at the bank account and it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sick of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to get irritable, and before you know it, it has blown up. You and your spouse are fussing, you know, and it's nobody's fault. You know, a lot of times it's neither one of, you know, it's neither one of your faults. It's just that some things happen sometimes, and then you're irritated and you're fussing, you know, so just trying to realize that we, like Mish said earlier, we're in this together. We're not, you know, we're not opposing forces in this. And then in cases where it is, you know, an issue with one spouse doing something and you know, still coming together, compromise, and being respectful. And I want to hit on, one thing before we. I'm sorry, y'all. I just got distracted. Okay, I want to hit on one thing before we get ready to end the show again, because this is a Christian-based show. I want to talk about tithing. Now, there's a big controversy concerning tithing, because tithing is talked about in the Old Testament. So some people believe that, you know, you shouldn't tithe, you just, because the New Testament, you know, talks about just giving. It doesn't talk about actually tithing. I would just like to say, whatever you decide to do, if you're married, come together and make the decision. If you decide, okay, we're going to tithe at least 10% of our income, then do that. If you decide, well, it's just important that I, you know, that I give generously and that my heart is in the right place, you know, that I'm a cheerful giver, then, you know, you two come together on that. If you have a situation, there are some couples where there's one spouse, excuse me, they fuss. One spouse believes in tithing and the other one does not. And so then it becomes a argument within the home. Do not let that cause an argument and a distraction and separation in the home.
If you are the spouse
that believes in tithing and you're bringing in something and your spouse is okay with you tithing off of what you bring in, tithe off of what you bring in. Your spouse is saying, I don't want to tithe off of my, you know, what I bring in, then don't let it, then don't do it. Don't do it. Don't, because then that's causing conflict and confusion. You want to be on one accord with that. And so just continue to, you know, pray for that spouse. You continue to love them. God, because God knows. God knows. And his intention is not for us to have all these issues within the house like that. You know, and so you're not going to be damned to hell or anything if your spouse don't believe in tithing and, you know, and you're allowing, and you're keeping it from, you know, you're not allowing it to be an area of conflict within the home. And then, you know, we can still give. You know, you can still give. There are people in need. You know, your spouse may be open to doing that, feeding the homeless, you know, doing other things. So there are still ways that you can give, you know, back into the kingdom. So I wanted to address that because I know we hear a lot of that, you know, where there, that is a problem. Now, for a couple where there's two believing spouses, then, you know, there really shouldn't be too much conflict. If both of you are believers, you know, you're not unequally yoked, then there shouldn't be a whole lot of conflict when it comes to, you know, what you're giving to God. Go ahead, man.
Amen. You know, the word of God tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, so cheerful giver, everybody, the first thing they want to do is be like a cheerful giver, and they start worried about where, well, the money is going to go here, the money is going to go there, you know. Don't worry about where the money is going. If you're sowing into a church, if you're paying tithes into a church, then you once it's out of your hands, you let it be there. You know, and then what God is going to do and use what he needs to do for the uplifting of his kingdom with the money that was brought back to him. But if you continue to do it and you're doing it in obedience and you're being cheerful about it, God will bless you. And he will show you that, in all honesty, that is one of the most important investments you can make, and that's into the kingdom of God. All right, because we know that the kingdom of God is eternal, whereas the things that we're dealing with down here on earth are temporary. You know, they're temporary. You know, once we leave this earth, you know, we can't make no more money on this earth. Once we're gone, we're gone.
Right.
You know, but while we're here, let's do what thus says the Lord. You know, be a cheerful giver, sow into his kingdom, and then and allow for you, with you sowing in for the uplifting of his kingdom, then you're also investing in other people's lives as well. You know, because most people be concerned about the money, but the money is for the church to keep the lights on, keep the water on, keep the gas on, keep the air AC blowing when people come to church so they ain't passing out. You know, and people, you know, say they can't come to church because it's too hot in church. I mean, it's the tithes and offerings are, you know, definitely for the uplifting of God's kingdom. And that's what we just have to be focused on and leave it at that and allow it to be the most important investment, an eternal investment that you know, God has given us the ability and talents to make into his kingdom.
Exactly. And like you say, you know, keeping the lights on and the water. Now, some people teach, this is not what I'm saying, I'm just saying, some people teach, not Quadrilling, you know, well, if all you got is your rent money, you know, you still pay your tithes and don't worry about your rent, God provide. I'm not saying that. Some people teach that. I still do believe in wisdom. I'm just going to say that. That's all I'm going to say. However, you know, we definitely should, you know, give something. If you are, you know, if you're believers, something definitely needs to be given, you know, to the kingdom. Like I said, whether it's your spouse is okay with, you know, giving to the needy, you know, whatever. But something needs to be given to the kingdom. But, again, I'm not saying for you to get yourself put out your house or to get like,
absolutely.
That's not what I'm saying at all. Okay, well, before we wrap it up, does anybody have anything to say?
Not at all. I think I'm good. I think the Lord has allowed us to speak what needed to be spoken. And praise God.
Okay. Well, as always, we do appreciate you guys for taking the time to support us. We ask that you please, you know, share this broadcast if you know anyone that may benefit from it, or just share it on your page anyway if you don't mind. you know, just share it, let people know about the show. And, baby, I forgot to mention to you, but on Friday I did talk to Faye, and so she'll be on Friday because I wanted to do a special show. We're going to come away from marriages just for Friday, on Friday, because we have so much violence going on. We've talked about bullying before, so we're not going to go back to that. But we have so much gang violence and things, you know, all this shooting and murdering and all these things, you know, these things going on amongst our young people. And so I asked Faye to come on and to talk to us about, you know, about this, because this is what she does in Macon. She's very involved with our young people, trying to get them to, you know, put the guns down, find a vision in life instead of all of this, you know, foolishness that they're doing. And so, although right now, you know, we have a lot of us, we have children that are not involved in that. Thank God, you know. but they may have friends that are. We may know people that do. And so she's going to come on Friday and just talk to us about gang violence, you know, what we can do to help the situation, how can we spot, you know, different things that may, you know, be indicators that our children could be involved with these, you know, with things, because sometimes we know things just all over our heads. And so, you know, she's going to talk to us about different things like that. So I just ask that you guys come on out and, you know, join us again on Friday night.
All right. That sounds great.
Well, we thank you guys. And we hope that everyone has a great night. Love you guys. Talk to you later.
Have a great night, guys.
All right. Good night.